Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
On the microphone. Did you know that every show we do, everyone listens to us farting about with audio stuff? No wonder no one listens to us.
Then I shall say nothing.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome back to another Whatever Works. It's November. Can you believe it, Aidan? It's already November.
No, I don't know if it's something to do with getting older, but time really does go by in a whistle, doesn't it? It's just you blink and suddenly it's Christmas again. It's just mad. Yeah, I can believe it because I know it's true, but it just seems crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it will be Crimbo any minute now, so watch out. It's show 233, and I would like to invite you to visit our website. That's at whateverworks.works, and also to join us in the MeWe group, which is on MeWe. Links to everything at tedsalmon.com. Links to everything Aidan does, including booking him up to be your Santa at your party at aidanbell.com. Right, there you go then.
Okay. That's all that. Is that it? Can we go home now?
talking of Santa gigs, have you got some news, or have you been booked up for all December yet?
Not for the whole of December. They're coming in. They're trickling in. So yeah, my December is looking okay. I mean, it's a funny old life I lead now, sort of basically taking care of my mum 11 months of the year and then working as Santa for the 12th. But it suits me. That works for me. You know, bring in the coffers at the end of the year and then try and squeeze them to last until the following December. I tell you what, talking of Christmas and December and Santa work, remember to breathe, Aidan. Yeah. I had to get my COVID jab again. I'm concerned about COVID because of, you know, spending the Christmas season amongst hordes of sniffling little kids. I want to make sure that I'm well protected from both the flu and the COVID, what with living at home with an 89-year-old lady. And of course, this year, I don't know whether our listeners know, but the NHS, in their wisdom, have changed the qualification for COVID jabs, and you now have to fit into more strictly defined specialist groups, none of which I do indeed fit into at all. So I had to pay for my COVID jab. I got it done yesterday.
What?
I got my COVID jab done yesterday at Tesco. I did a lot of research. It's utterly impossible for me to get it done on the NHS. And I said, but I'm officially a carer. And they said, we don't care. I mean, it's very sweet, actually. I went to the doctor's surgery and asked there, and the girls actually at the surgery said, look, even we can't get it, and we're seeing sick people all day long every day, and we're not allowed to have it. Anyway, £90, I say, £90 just for a little in your arm and, you know, Bob's your uncle and off you go. So I had it done yesterday. And, you know, there is the argument. I'm sure there are people listening thinking, what a pillock. Why did he pay for that? Well, the point is, if I get sick and suddenly I can't do a couple of Santa gigs, that's a heck of a lot more than £90 I'm going to lose. So I think it will balance out, you know. But there it is. If you want your COVID jab and you're a healthy individual, which of course we all want to be, it'll cost you £90.
In Wales, where most health services are free, I was just looking it up because I'd never heard of this.
I thought you'd gone quiet. I thought I was rather boring you. You were just looking something up on the web.
I was looking up COVID for Wales, and it says residents in a care home for older adults can get a free one. If you're 75 years old, or over, you can get a free one. And yeah, that's it. I'm quite surprised, because normally Wales are really good with that stuff, so it looks like I would have to pay now as well, which might explain why they haven't invited me to go for a jab.
They probably would, Ted, yes. But, I mean, there are advantages in getting old if you're over 75. I mean, I bought cinema tickets for my mother and I yesterday to say we're going to go and see a film next week. And I got myself a concession for the over 60s. You know, I'm not used to that yet either, because I thought, oh, I wonder if a mum can get a concession. Oh, yes, she can. Oh, good Lord, so can I. Anyway, how are Very you, sir? Funny. What's going on in yours?
I'm all right, all right. I remember when I got to 50, there was this over 50s club I could go to. Of course I didn't, but I thought, yeah, I must be getting old. It's a club especially for my age group.
My mother belongs to the U3A, which is fabulous. It's a countrywide organisation, University of the Third Age, and it's for people who are in their 60s, 70s plus. And my mother does wonderfully out of it and belongs to several groups, and it's marvellous for her. And she's constantly saying to me, do you want to come, Aidan? It's a lovely... You might enjoy it. Do you want to come to this group? And I keep saying, no, I am 60. I am not 80. I'm not ready for the Third Age yet. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Anyway, right, okay. My news is that I've got my table. I was talking about my table for my den in the garage.
Yes.
On the last show, and it's arrived. It's my £148 garden table, which is 6 foot long, and it came from that lovely place, Staffordshire Garden Furniture, which is now on my A list of places to get furniture from. And I've added a dotty PVC tablecloth to it. So I'll put links in the show notes to both of those. But for your benefit, I put a little picture in there of the thing in situ with my chair and my little computer screen. And it looks very, very cosy, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's really the archetypical man den. I think that looks fabulous and I'm jealous of it. I don't see the polka dot tablecloth, but perhaps not, because I'm not quite sure how that would fit in there.
No, I do rather like
the rustic sort of picnic table, what I used to call arm wrestling tables, look of it. Yeah. Very much. Yes, I like that a lot, Ted.
I added the polka dot tablecloth after I took the photo, obviously. But because it's got holes in it, that'll make the mouse roll over the table. And also, because it's PVC, it will just, you know, clean with a cloth very easily. I've had one of those before.
Yes, but polka dots? I mean, there are PVC is available in many colours, and you chose polka dot. Yeah. Let's just skip over that.
Oh, I just thought it was fun. Never mind. Okay, then.
I had some stupid fun on Amazon the other day, which I actually posted in the group. I mean, we know Aidan posts in the group, you know, less frequently than unicorns are born in this world. And it just struck me as hysterically funny. I purchased something on Amazon, can't remember what it was now. And when I got to the checkout, I was given two options. Tuesday, the 14th of October, £5 standard delivery. Or, if you want, you can pay £5.99 delivery and have it delivered on Wednesday, the 15th of October. And I just thought, yeah, okay, AI is taking over the world, but it doesn't always get it right.
Not very bright, that is it? Blimey. But I have noticed that Amazon are trying to get people to nominate a day still, quite strongly.
So yes.
Whatever you're ordering, have them done on that day and we can bring them all together. So, right, okay, how does that benefit me then?
I mean, I certainly understand the ethos of it. And if there's something that I'm really not bothered about, I will always click the on my delivery day, which in my case happens to be a Wednesday. But who wants to do that? When you order something, you want it now. You don't want to say, Thursday evening, I'll have it arrive next Wednesday then. No, I want it tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Exactly, yeah. Right, the other thing that I've been doing this last few weeks is trying to give up smartwatches. And I got my 25-plus-year-old Victorinox automatic movement watch out again. I've spoken about that on the show before. It's a really nice watch, and it's, you know, it's hugely neglected. It just sits there not being used, not being wound, not being moved, not being done anything with. I picked it up last week, and good as gold. I started moving it around, worked perfectly, and it's just great. We were having a discussion offline about your Withings scan watch.
Yes.
And we were talking about the pros and cons of the differences and the differences between that and the Withings scan watch Lite. Now, I did think about that as a hybrid between the two, but I've been trying hard to leave this one on my wrist. It's a really nice watch. It never needs winding, just moving. There's no battery in it, obviously. There's no noises or lights. But one of the downsides of it not having any lights is that, unlike a smartwatch, you can't see it. So when even in subdued lighting, let alone waking up in the night, in subdued lighting in the evening, I look at my wrist and I can't see it. I need a torch to put on it to see what it's like, to see what the time is. Now, in the old days, as we've discussed before, we would have had this kind of luminous paint all over it, I suppose, and you'd be able to see it. But anyway,
May I just interject there, Ted, while you're on the subject of the luminous paint? My Withings watch, which I do enjoy very much, my Withings smartwatch 2, scan watch 2 it's called, does indeed have the supposed luminous bits on it. And at night, if you stare at it very hard, you can eventually make out the faint rendition of sort of greeny white lines. It's useless. I've never in my life known any of these things. They work wonderfully if you hold your watch under a lamp and then turn the light off. They're beautifully bright for about 2 minutes. They never work. And it does still exist. It's on my watch and it's still useless. So you're not missing anything there, Ted. Carry on.
Back in the day, I had a Timex watch, a really simple Timex watch. It was called an Explorer or something like that, and the whole screen was luminous, and it would be absolutely crystal clear. You know, if you wake up in the night, you just it looks like it's backlit. Now, I'm sure it's probably given me cancer.
I was going to say you got radiation poisoning or something.
Yes, but anyway, I'm trying hard to wear a non-smart watch, but I might end up, because on your Withings watch, you've got a little circle at the top, which has got a readout, which presumably if you press a button or something, you could assign that to tell you the time, couldn't you?
Oh, it does. It immediately tells you the time. You just press it and get the time, and the other assignments are to do with twiddling the knob. Yeah, I mean, what I love about the Withings is at first glance, it looks like a normal, in inverted commas, watch and doesn't look like a smartwatch. And it only reveals its smart tendencies when you press the button, yes.
Yeah. However, it is £320, so there's that.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky to get mine from a friend who sold it to me at Mates Week because he didn't want it. So yes, indeed, I take that point.
But I'm thinking about it, and I'm testing myself, and I'm pushing myself, and I really don't want to waste my lovely Victorinox watch because it's so nice, and I've had it for so long, and it will last for generations. Here, we had a bit of feedback from Joe.
Oh, may I just pop in before I say that? I'm just very pleased that when we first started this podcast, your wrist was home to nothing. And now you wear a watch. So whatever kind of watch it is, I think that's a major achievement in that Ted Salmon is now a watch wearer at all, which he wasn't when we started. That's
absolutely
all.
And that's one thing that smartwatches has done for me, really, is it's got me back accepting something on my wrist, which you're quite right. When we started, I couldn't abide anything on my wrist.
Yes.
So, yes, you're quite right. Yeah, Joe Hickey, my new co-host on the New Look PSC, has written in. He's our most recent convert to listening to Whatever Works. I'd like to have, however, he's got a complaint already. I would like to have whatever works fortnightly, but then I'm a new listener. I could just listen back to old episodes, I suppose, but you and Aidan are a great duo together, and it's a really fun listen. So, thanks, Joe. I have now mentioned this to Aidan, and we have talked about it, and to be honest, that's the only bit of feedback we kind of get, just, you know, the very, very odd item like that. Now, to some degree, and I've discussed this with Aidan, over the years, we did feel as though perhaps the Whatever Works thing is running a little dry. I mean, maybe the whole format needs a bit of a shake-up, but we felt as though going to monthly wasn't really, you know, no one really complained about going to monthly, except you now, Joe, as a new listener. But I don't think anyone else was saying, no, don't go monthly, that's terrible, we'll miss you too much. And it's kind of okay. And maybe the idea of it, the concept of it, will last longer if we don't try and do it so often. I don't know. Any thoughts, Aidan?
Well, if you finished talking about me in the third person... I'm still here.
I was talking to Joe.
Hello, I'm here in the corner. I do concur. I think monthly works. I think it has got to a point now where it's a known animal and it's settled and people know what we do and we know what we do and people like listening to what we do, and I don't think we need to do it every week and ram it down people's throats. So yes, I do think a monthly is the better format at the moment. That's just my penneth's worth.
So up yours, Joe.
Ed House brings us the DIY tools from the last show. If you remember, we decided Ed was the DIY king because he listed so many fantastic tools and reviewed them for us on the last show. He's come back saying, "I love being described as an expert. You're too kind." Well, you're very welcome, sir. "I swore when I left home," says Ed, "that I'd never do DIY. I've never trained in anything, and I just go at everything based on what I can find out from friends, family, and of course YouTube. Getting people to come and quote to do work for you and to give you a date and to stick to it has proved to become more hassle than doing the blasted thing yourself. Gear addiction syndrome, that's GAS, is not a uniquely tech-related condition," he says. "So if I can justify DIY tools or anything else making my life easier, I'm going for it. And I swear, though, that the sander in I Wonder Who Bought It Last Time wasn't me." He then goes on to say, "I do miss the show being regular, but I can't complain really, as it's not like I have to pay a subscription to listen. I'm just happy when it arrives." Well, thank you, Ed. And there's an idea. Why don't we just charge everybody £100 an episode? Then we might do more.
Yeah.
Or £90. £90. That'll cover my COVID jab at least.
COVID, yeah. Some people do chip in. And this very week, thank you to Daniel B. from America. He chipped in £30, which he thought was £40, but it turned out to be $40 and ended up being £30. But that's fine. I'm not complaining, Daniel, and thanks ever so much. So £30 is really helpful. We've got our hosting fees coming up in January, so that will be going some way to helping very much. Jen Loeb also, we mentioned her on the last show, wondering if she still tuned in. And she responded. She said, "Hi, Ted. I've never missed an episode of PSC, Whatever Works, or Tech Addicts. My twin sister Judy, who was in Germany when we last spoke, I think, has now come to live with me. So you have two loyal 84-year-old fans."
I bet they get a free COVID jab.
Yeah, I bet they do. "We value all your podcasts and are glad that you're carrying on with PSC. We are always saying we wish we could think up something to send in to Whatever Works. We love the metal toothbrush holders. Sorry, metal toothpaste holders you recommended. I also feel for you having lost your good friend Ian Barton. All the best, Jen." So thank you, Jen. That's nice that we gave you a shout and you responded, so thank you. And very pleased that you and your sister listened to us.
Yes, thank you, Jen and Judy, both of you. It is lovely to hear from people, so please keep... It doesn't matter. You know what? You don't have to have something sensible. Listen to the show. Do you need a sensible reason to contact these idiots? Just write and say whatever you like. Yeah. As Daniel B. did. Daniel B. sent us the Nephrom luggage rack from Amazon USA, a set of two luggage racks for £49. These are the things you find in hotel rooms in the cupboard that you basically, you know, separate the thing and it's a small stool that you can put luggage on. He says, "This luggage rack seems to work well. There are two of them. I just got them and they save space by folding up when not in use. I plan on using them as tray holders for parties when we have them as well, so we can use them in multiple ways." Well, that's Amazon US. They do seem to... we have found them on Amazon UK, but at a price of £100 just for one, not even for two. So a bit pricey over here, but very glad they work for you over there, Daniel.
Yeah, and thank you again, Daniel, for your contribution to our funds. That's really good. Right, last thing to catch up with, which I bumped into, was the Build-A-Brush Customizable Kids Toothbrush Kit, which, you know, talking about America, this is not available in the UK and we can't get them. The aforementioned Joe Hickey wanted to get one for his little girl, but he couldn't get one, sadly. So one for America, one for Daniel B. and other people in America. It's a modular toothbrush which is designed to be funky and fun and encourage kids to brush their teeth, and it looks exactly that, really. It looks very Christmassy and lots of colors and different faces on the modules, and you can make it as long or as short as you want to. Yeah, really nice little idea. Nothing much to say about it, really, except really cool, and hopefully they'll sell to the UK soon.
Yeah, it is fun. It's just a sort of thick, chunky toothbrush, a bit like a totem pole, really, isn't it? And you just put different bits together to create. As you say, you could have a 6-foot toothbrush if you had enough bits.
Ted Salmagundi.
So one thing that I was thinking about for Selma Gundy is a wrench that I came across, which we would call a spanner, on AliExpress, £1.63, which puts it into cheapest chips as well, of course. Sorry, Judge Barton's cheapest chips. And it's the Universal Torx wrench. Now, I'm not quite sure why the word Torx is in there, because I thought Torx was a standard for screwdriver bits or something. Anyway, the point is that this is an interesting design and an interesting invention, if you like, whereby it's cleverly shaped so and toothed so that whatever size of nut you've got to undo, you just put it onto the nut and then slide it down to the required size. No moving parts, no adjustable spanner thing going on, and then once it's in place, turn it. And I've never seen one of these before, and it just looks fiendish, doesn't it?
It looks very clever. It's a diminishing size, isn't it? So you just put it on and then pull it until it fits whatever size nut or whatever it is you're trying to screw, and then turn it. Yeah, I think it is clever. I've just looked up, by the way, Torx is indeed a type of screw head, but I think it's a type of screw head that looks rather similar to a bolt, to a nut. So I think they probably, a torque and a nut seem to be relatively similar and would use the same kind of tool, which is probably where the name comes from. But no, this is indeed, this is good old-fashioned Ted Fiendish. I could do with one of these, and at £1.63, I might even buy one.
Yeah, looking stuff up while I was talking. I thought you'd gone quiet.
I wonder where you got that from.
I wonder who bought it.
And I wonder who bought it. Who bought what, and tell us why.
I tell you what, I mean, it's not often that I find something that I've never heard of or seen or know nothing about before, but it'd be interesting to find out if you know anything about this. Coddled egg cups. Somebody bought this on Amazon, and thank you very much for that. And apparently, according to Gemini, they're little kind of ceramic pot thingies, and you put a saucepan of water on to boil, and you simmer it, and then you get one of these ceramic pots and you put an egg in it, and then put whatever else you want to put in with it, so like spices or herbs or pepper or whatever, and then you put the lid on by the looks of it, and then you put it halfway into the boiling water or the simmering water. And you can then either oik it out after you've finished and put it on a plate, or just eat it out of this little cup. And it looks amazing. It looks really good fun. I suppose, in a sense, it's a bit like a poached egg or an omelette, a mini omelette or something. I've never seen these. And they've got a kind of Japanese thing on the front. So I wonder if it's come from Japan or something. Have you ever heard of these?
Well, some time ago now, half a year ago or more, my mother talked to me about coddled eggs and said she hadn't had a coddled egg since she was young and she'd love to have one, and I'd never heard of them, and I found one on Amazon and bought it. It wasn't like this. It was a sort of not so good. If you look up coddled eggs on Amazon, you'll see a lot of them have this sort of screw-on silver top. So I bought this thing on Amazon and I made my mother a coddled egg. The problem was, when it came out of the water, I actually had to get tools out of the garage to be able to remove the blessed lid from the top, because it was such a cheap and cheerful piece of crap. As it was more than 5 minutes ago, I'm afraid I can't remember what the egg was like and whether my mother enjoyed it. However, it came up again recently, which is why I ordered the coddled egg cup that you've just talked about.
Oh, wow.
To replace the one that hadn't worked, and we're waiting for it to arrive. It was a non-prime purchase, so it may be coming, as you say, from China. It hasn't arrived yet, but I chose this one because it's got a different type of lid than the most that you see on Amazon. And yeah, it was me. And when it arrives, I will try again to do a coddled egg for my mother, and I'll be able to report back in a lot greater detail about exactly how a coddled egg is and how it tastes once it's been coddled.
brilliant. We've not had an egg session for a while, have
no.
we?
No. I saw this in our recording notes and I thought, I won't say anything to Ted. I'll wait and... Yeah, it was me. I seem to be popping up quite a bit and I wonder who bought it. You've had quite a lot of coffee on me's head.
Well, thank you very much for your ongoing support. And anyone else that wants to do the same for me, you're very welcome to. What you do is you head into Amazon via my affiliate link, which is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and then anything you buy, they give me a few pennies for the transaction. I don't know who's bought what, as has just been proved, but I do know what's been bought, which is why we can get the data out. So, yeah, thank you for your support. That is I Wonder Who Bought It.
Still using and still using.
Sellotape. Do you remember the wonderful stuff? I love Sellotape. I can't not have a roll of Sellotape in the house. And I've bought it two or three times now. I think actually when I bought one the other day, it told me it was the fourth time I've purchased this. It is a set of 10 rolls of Scotch. There's a name we all remember. General Purpose Transparent Tape. As I say, I bought it four times. This time round, I paid £5.54 for 10 rolls. So 55p roll, Judge Barton's cheap as chips. I notice it used to come just 10 rolls wrapped up in cellophane. Now I get 10 rolls in a nice chintzy printed cardboard box. That's hopefully to do with helping the planet. And I can't say much about it. It's a roll of sellotape, but it works. It's good sellotape. It's decent sellotape. It does what it says on the tin, although it comes in a box. And at 55p a roll, who's to argue with that? There you go, sellotape. Everyone should have some.
Yeah. What a thrilling life you lead. You can't live without sellotape. I must have a roll of sellotape. Mother, we've got no sellotape. I've got to go out to the shop.
But you see, I tell you what, one thing I do, I think I've learned it partly from looking after my mother and her medications. I like always to have the next version of something ready in the cupboard. You know, when we open the last bottle of shampoo, the next bottle of shampoo gets purchased and put in the cupboard. So you never end up running out of something and going, have we got any loo paper? Oh, that was the last roll, you know. So the same with sellotape. As soon as I'm down to about one or two rolls left, I order the next 10. As you
or
say,
indeed.
Thoroughly exciting life I lead.
Yeah, or indeed the next sponge for your dish-matic, which is I'm still using. So the dish-matic handled plate washer thingy, I always do the same as you. I've always got a stock of these things in
because
they don't last. So yeah, we're all the same, really, aren't we? Anyway, £7.65, and you get three little end thingies with this. You fill up the handle with fairy liquid. And they do work really, really well, I have to say. Over the years, we've been using these and keep going back to them, and they're super. This was my still using from Whatever Works 191 in August 23, in which I also highlighted the dish brush, which is another very similar kind of idea, except that it's you kind of grip it in your wrist and you fill up the thing with fairy liquid and you grip it in your wrist and you can just use it as more of a scrubbing thing. I actually use that to scrub down the draining board more than I use it for dishes. But that one is £5.68 and you can currently get a 5% voucher off of that. But it doesn't come from Amazon. It comes from Ying Tepusi.
ditto, hear, consensus. We have a dishmatic in the kitchen and have done, like yourself, for years and years. And not a day goes by when I don't use it two or three or four times for little jobs, washing up bits and bobs. I mean, we have a dishwasher and our main wash happens in the dishwasher. But I'm sure, like a lot of people, various odds and sods get washed throughout the day. And yeah. Totally. Next to the sellotape, one of my most favourite things is the dishmatic. I tell you what, Daniel B's cat's favourite thing, there's a link, is the locally made cat tree that he brought onto the show some time back. Daniel says, my cat is still using this awesome locally made cat tree, made from real wood and decent carpet for her to rest on. She loves it. Yeah, it's one of these classic things, you know, a sort of sticking up branch of a tree with little branches, if you will, which are flat areas carpeted for the cat to sit on at various levels. I know that cats love these, and Daniel's cat surely does. And he she, does it say? It, she looks very content and very beautiful, sat perched the top of this thing. So thank you, Daniel. Very nice.
That's a great idea, isn't it? Isn't that nice? That's and it's just amazing that... I wonder if dogs will climb up there as well.
Now, somehow, I got confused. I thought we'd just done Cheapest Chips. We've just... OK, so now we're Cheapest Chipsings.
Sellotape. Well, you need to talk about sellotape again.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, things seem to sort of what's the word, converge into it. We need a pie chart that kind of shows how the various sections of this show intermerge. Anyway, we're now on official Judge Barton's Cheapest Chips.
No, it's a Venn diagram.
It's a Venn diagram.
I listened at school, you know. My first item is a pair of tweezers. Now, my dad... Turn away from your speaker. My dad got a bit of cotton wool stuck in his nose. He had a nosebleed, and I said to him, just shove a load of cotton wool in your nose. And he did, but it was too small a piece. So I've since trained him on that one. But anyway, this was stuck in his nose. And could we find a pair of tweezers in the house? My mum used to have tweezers in the house. I know she did. And I reckon she took them with her because we couldn't find them anywhere. So I went on to our favourite shop and I ordered a pair of tweezers and they were £2.98. And I was really surprised that you get two in the pack. They're branded Yis Coco and they're two different sizes. So the end tweezer bits, two different sizes. And they're made of metal, unbelievably. And they're really, really good quality. And £2.98, I thought, yeah, that's really cool. They're not these flimsy little ones that you probably buy at Tesco, but they're actually really good quality. Very nice, and I recommend them. And they got they got the cotton wool out of my dad's nose.
I'm just thinking, I mean, I know Amazon delivery is fast, but did your poor father have to wait with this cotton wool stuff up to his conker until the bloody thing arrived in the post?
I actually found in the cupboard, I found this pair of nail clippers, believe it or not, and they were really, really sharp on the end. So that time when I had to do it the first time, I said, don't move, because if I jab you with this, it will certainly start bleeding. And so I got it out with that one. But talking about people not learning, the very next day he did the same thing again. by which time we had the tweezers.
Yeah, the tweezers. They do look very nice. I'm looking at them now. Yis Coco. Would you like a hot drink? Yis Coco. They do look jolly good. Do you know? Once I got some. I once got some tweezers. I took my mother to one of her medical appointments, and she, I don't know what. I can't remember. She had a stitch removed, or tweezers were used for some purpose or other. And the nurse then turned to me and said, "Would you like these? I have to throw them away."
Oh.
And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll have them." And they were a very, very nice pair. I mean, you know, similar to, if not better than, the ones that you've just talked about from Amazon.
Right.
And she said, "Yeah, we're not allowed, you know," she said, "presumably cleaning them is just more expensive than it's worth. We can't use them on two patients in succession. So once we've used them, we have to chuck them in the bin. So if you want them, you can have them." So I've got them in the bathroom to this day. Very nice pair of tweezers. Thank you very much.
Very good. Well done.
Daniel B. brings us Cheapest Chips solar Halloween lights. They last about 3 years, he says, and cost $1.50. What's that? About 90p.
Yeah, probably.
I don't like waste from these kind of stores, but considering that regular stores sell similar lights that last just as long for $10 to $15, I'm definitely going to save money and use these for a quick decoration for Halloween. Yeah, I mean... One thing I think I've learned over the years of whatever works is you get what you pay for. And if you pay £1.50, they're going to be shocking. But if all it is to do is to hang up once a year for a couple of nights for Halloween, then there's no, you know, why not? Shocking is perfectly adequate. So good call, Daniel. £1.50 for 3 years worth of Halloween lights. That's about a third of a cup of coffee, isn't it?
Yeah. This place, Dollar Tree, Daniel's mentioned before, for our American friends, obviously Dollar Tree is like our pound shop or something.
Ah, yes.
And so, yeah, good for you. I got a whacking great big bar of Cheapest Chips chocolate for our kind of Christmas mentality of gorging food the whole time.
Now, it's only November, Tedward. Remember your diabetes, Dev.
I haven't got it. The 850-gram bar. I've never seen a bar of chocolate so big. And it was on special offer for £8. It's now gone back up to £11 because this was on Prime Day.
Yeah.
I compared the price, though, with Tesco. And in Tesco, you can get 360 grams for £4.50. And so if you scale that up, it would have been more like the Amazon £11. Anyway, I looked further, and you can also get, if you buy it from Cadbury's Direct, from their own website, you can get eight of these. So eight 850-gram bars for £80, which makes them £10 each. I can't imagine who, well, unless you were running a shop or something.
I was going to say, 8.5 kilograms of chocolate, you deserve whatever you get. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. Blimey. Anyway, yeah, so keep an eye on, if you want chocolate stuff for Christmas or whatever, then keep an eye on Amazon, because sometimes, just sometimes, usually with food, they're not competitive, but sometimes you find something.
Give your family serious heart failure for Christmas. 8.5 kilograms of Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Ted's Top Tips.
My top tip is to change your name.
Oh.
Actually, it's not mine. It was something I read online.
Oh.
It said, they did some research and they said, it was Men's Magazine. They did some research and it said, if you've got positive initials, for example, ones that spell out things like J-O-Y or W-O-W, you're going to live 4.5 years longer than you would if you had neutral initials. And if you, furthermore, if you have crappy initials that are negative, like DUD or ASS, you'll live 3 years less. How on earth they work that out, I don't know what I'm doing. It's a bit of fun, though. Other initials that may shorten life include ILL and DED. What about DEAD?
Yes, that would be even worse.
I don't get this whole... This whole initials thing, I don't... My dad has got two middle names, and his initials end up being T-E-S-S. Maybe he always wanted to be a girl, but he seems to be all right with it. My sister clearly races about the place, because her initials are RPM.
Oh, that's quite sweet. I like that.
Yeah, mine is TS, of course, and I don't get the need for middle names. Frankly, I think they're all a bit silly and pointless. But anyway, that's just me. I don't know. What are your initials?
Well, I'm Mr. APM. Epm.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when does anyone ever write out their initials like that? I mean,
Where's the B?
Oh, there's a B on the end. Oh, of course, I just only did the Christian. Oh, yeah, APMB, APMB. Even worse, absolutely unpronounceable.
You've got two middle names as well.
Yes, I have.
Ah.
But I'm just thinking you never see them written out. So even if you did have something wonderful or something awful, you wouldn't. No one would ever know anyway because you never write, you know.
My dad does.
You need to be a upper class git called Cedric Ulysses Norbert Tarquin, don't you? Work that one out at home. Right, shall we move on?
I want one of those.
You know, I was talking earlier about my Victorinox watch. Well, I spotted a way of moulding Victorinox with coffee use. Hooray, coffee! Now, Victorinox have apparently just released, for $160, a brand new Swiss Army knife, which is designed for coffee users because it's come out of La Marzocco, which I've never heard of, but presumably that's something to do with coffee. Engineered with barista-like precision, this pocket knife has 19 functions which will cover everything that you need to sort out espresso machine maintenance. So the question is, are there any tools actually that would replace things you use for cleaning out a coffee machine? And I don't really know. There's a picture in the blurb of a woman holding this thing up into the spout where the coffee comes out of in one of our Sage machines or Sage alike machines, and there's a long prong thingy, and I mean, there clearly are various tools that would do the job, but I'm not sure how necessary they are, but it'll be a nice Christmas present for someone that's got everything and doesn't need anything and has got a Sage coffee machine, wouldn't it?
Well, first of all, excuse my coughing in the background. And second of all, I don't know why you want one of these, because I just can't see the point. I can't see, I can't see anything in there that would help with maintaining a coffee machine. I've never maintained a coffee machine. On the couple of occasions when it's gone wrong, I've called an engineer and he's maintained it and he didn't have one of these. And at £160, I don't know. I just think it's a solution looking for a problem. I mean, yeah, fine. It just seems to be the next sort of attempting to get people to buy yet another Swiss Army knife. Sorry, I can't get excited about this one, Ted. I don't see the point.
I think the Victorinox with their Swiss Army knives have gone very much into the gift territory, that you can't think for the life of you what to get for granddad.
So, yes.
You know, you. All right, here's a knife. He likes Swiss Army knives. He always has done. And here's one. And he loves his coffee. And he'll love this.
Yeah.
You can just see it, can't you? And I think that if you look at the Victorinox website, you'll see that theme running through it.
Right.
It's all kind of gift orientated stuff. So,
yeah, but I mean, you know, I love my coffee, as you know. I use my coffee machine 2 or 3 times a day. I still couldn't imagine what I would, if you gifted me this for Christmas, I'd say, thank you, Ted, that's very good of you, but what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Moving along.
Better before.
I just have a quick better before this week, which is quite a sad one, really. I did a job a few weeks back for cancer research at Millwall Football Club. It was to do with prostate cancer, and it doesn't matter what we were there for, but we were filming at Millwall Football Club. And of course, filming, as I'm sure people may know, entails a great deal of waiting around. And I found myself at one point of this filming sat next to one of the men from the Millwall Football Club who was chatting away with the guy beside him, and I joined in the conversation. In which he pointed out, at the back of Millwall Football Club, there is a railway line going directly behind the back of the club, and there's an enormous siding and huge, great big wall at the back of the stand. And he told me, or us, that 10 years ago, that wall was for sale at £300,000 a year for anyone who wanted to advertise on it, and that now they don't even bother. Because he said, now no one looks out of train windows anymore. They're all reading their phones. There's no point in advertising, and even in a beautifully positioned billboard area, you know, multiple meters long and high, perfect for advertising, £300,000 if you want it for the year. He said he can't even sell it anymore. There's no point in trying because nobody advertises because no one looks out of train windows because everyone's reading their bloody phones. And I just thought, what a shame. Much, much, much better before. That's it. I'm going to go away and cry now.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get beaten up.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
Whatever worked. The next show we were on was show 85, which is June 2019, and I would like to highlight a dinky kettle, a Saga compact kettle. I can't remember who brought this to the show, but it's really nice. It was someone bought it from John Lewis, and we brought it to the show, and it's $69.95, and you can still buy it. So good for you, John Lewis, for 6 years later still having the same stuff. And it's really dinky and small and cute, and it is perfect for a caravan owner or a motorhome owner or somebody that is able to use this.
Or somebody that lives at home with an 89-year-old lady.
Stop giggling in the background.
It was me! I've realised.
I've worked that out by now.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. This is just this one. It's a running theme this week, isn't it? It was me. Sorry, Ted. I didn't mean to carry on.
This This is also and I want one of those too, though. And I probably said that at the time, but I didn't probably quite have the use for one. But yeah, a 1 litre kettle. Now, you could argue, like with my dad's 3 litre kettle, well, what's the point? Because you could just put 1 litre of water in it and it will do the same job and use the same energy. But you obviously thought that it would be better than that, and you got it for a reason.
The reason being, it was to be used by an elderly lady who can't lift a 3-litre kettle.
Oh, right.
So okay. The point was to buy a small, safe, competent kettle that would be good for my mother to use. We actually have, as I've talked about on the show several times, I forget the name of the people who make it now, but this wonderful hot water machine where you just press a button and out comes hot water.
Yeah.
So our kettle now is a backup. It's a plan B.
Right.
But no, it's exactly why I bought a small kettle, so that my mother can cope with it.
Good for John Lewis, though. Like we were saying about Cotton Traders in a previous show, having the same thing, the same, you know, to be able to go back and get it. So often we go to Amazon on the whatever work, duh, and the links don't work because they don't sell them anymore. So good for you, John Lewis. What
Absolutely.
Have you got?
What have I got? Well, to be honest, the only thing that I really spotted that struck a chord with me and a slight, you know, fired the neurons and can I remember this? Was Simon Nobbs's FOTR, PHOT-R, Studio Flex Arm, which was basically a little clamp onto the side of your desk, flexy thing for clipping a microphone to the other end of. And that put me in mind that I used to have cheap and cheerful things like that, and that I've now got my much nicer, although quite expensive, still lasting very, very well, proper microphone arm from Tolman, which is called a Thron Max Caster XLR microphone boom, which I think cost me around 80-odd quid or something when I bought it, but I'm very... Oh, 69 when I bought it in 2020, so a little while after this show. And I'm very, very happy, and I'm speaking into it as we speak. And I was going to ask you, you had problems with these, didn't you? Because you found vibrations were coming through and interrupting your mic, and you ended up with one that was a floor standing one, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Which is what I'm using now. It's on the floor and it's got a gooseneck on the top, and so I can swing it right around in front of me. But I've tried to use one of these clamped to the desk ones, and yeah, you were saying that when I used it there was vibration through the desk. But also I found that this table I'm using right now is designed in such a stupid way that there's nowhere to clamp these things onto it. So hopefully with my new table in my new den, that might not be the case, and I could have another go and try and do it. I've just scrolled back up to look at the picture of that table, and it looks like on the end there's a thin bit which it could well go onto. Yeah, I think that might work.
Or, given that your table is slated, there are little spaces. You might even be able to use your floor-standing one and pop it up through one of the spaces in between the slats. Ooh, cunning.
Cut a hole in my lovely polka dot tablecloth.
I'd forgotten the polka dot. Damn, the polka dot tablecloth.
Yes, so anyway, that was it, really. And I would like to have one of those because they're quite nifty. But and a floor standing one does kind of get in the way. Looking down at my feet now, I can easily kind of trip on it probably. So yes. Anyway, that was show 85 and whatever work. Room 101 for people who don't acknowledge messages is my claim. My family are terrible with this, and also a couple of older local people I know. You send them an informative message by whatever means, text message or email or whatever, and unless there's a direct question to answer, and sometimes not even then, they don't acknowledge it. They just ignore me, ignorant gits. In a day when the emoji is completely ubiquitous, even in Gmail now, there's no excuse. I've never not acknowledged a message from someone. It just seems to be polite to me, even if there's nothing to say except, yes, I've got it, thanks, by giving a thumbs up. But it just seems that I'm alone, and it's a standard belonging to older people, perhaps, and the generation below me and lower, or older, or sorry, newer, younger, just perhaps don't get this, and they don't acknowledge messages. As Miranda would say, rude. What do you think?
As my Lord and Master Stephen Sondheim would say, you are not alone. Absolutely, Ted, I totally concur. I have two people in my life who are like that. I won't name and shame, but I am related to both of them. who exactly, you send a, and as you've said, unless there's a specific question, it's ignored. And, you know, I might even write something humorous and ha ha ha, this happened today. And you expect at least a smiley face back or a comment. Or a that's interesting. I hope it were. Yeah, it really. And I remember also back in the old days when all we had was email, a chap I used to work with, a producer called David Lee. Wonderful, wonderful man. And I learned from him, always, always reply. There's a rehearsal on Tuesday. Is that all right? I reply saying yes. He then replies back saying, good, see you there. And then you know you've had a three-way conversation and you're absolutely certain that both of you are aware of the fact. So, you know, you don't turn up somewhere and someone's missing and say, oh, I didn't get the message. Yeah, totally agree with you, Ted. There's no excuse for not a simple response of one kind or another. Totally agree. Hear, hear.
There is no excuse for rudeness.
Indeed. Matt Jones thinks there's no excuse for wobbly tables. He says, how is it that you can go into a brand new Costa Coffee, not a repurposed building, but a building built from scratch, and find wobbly tables? The floor is brand new. The tables are brand new. Either the guys that laid the floor or the guys who supplied the tables have messed up their jobs. Regardless of that, he said, the person responsible for fitting out the facility or the operational manager should have picked this up and corrected it. Matt Jones is getting very angry about this. Yes, he said, it's a first world problem, but it's hardly rocket science after all. People are going to have drinks on these tables. Yeah, I agree, Matt. It always amuses me when you go into a restaurant and tables are wobbling. And I just think, isn't that sort of restaurant running 101? Let the tables be sturdy. And you go into restaurants and you can see little screwed up bits of paper that have been squashed under the bottom of legs by previous customers trying to make them sound. I always wonder why we don't just have three-legged tables everywhere and then the problem wouldn't exist. Totally concur, Matt. It's lunatic and I don't know how it happens, and I agree with you that it shouldn't.
Yes, especially with, as he's kind of pointing out, really, is brand new builds.
Yes, and yes.
You would think at that point it would work properly. I've been into cafes locally here in the past where there are wobbly tables as well, but at least they're like about probably 10 years old or something and not brand new.
Yes.
So, yeah, good point and well made, Matt Jones. The last thing I'm going to chuck into Room 101 are Richmond pork sausages. Be warned.
Ooh.
I put a packet. Now, normally I spend a bit more money and don't buy Richmond because they are cheap as chips. But this doesn't happen with the ones I spend a bit more on. But I put these Richmond pork sausages into my slow cooker in water for purposes I won't bore you with. And the next morning, I oiked them out of the slow cooker and went to wash everything up and get the sausages out and everything. And everything that it had touched and the water had touched and my hands and everything were absolutely blathered in fat and grease. And honestly, it was just disgusting. I couldn't believe how fatty and greasy the thing. It was just everywhere. In the end, I think I must have used half a bottle of fairy liquid to clean everything and get it out of the sink. And then I started to think, maybe I shouldn't have really put it down the sink at all because that's going to clog the sink up. But honestly, I've never known some sausages that have been so full of grease and just horrible. Now, maybe if I cooked them in the oven rather than putting them in water in the slow cooker, I don't know. But my point is that when I buy slightly nicer sausages, I can do the same thing, and it doesn't do that. So beware. Yuck, 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 Richmond. Leave them alone.
I did an advert for Richmond sausages once. I'm beginning to regret it now. What a lovely word, blathered. I'm sorry, what stuck out to me there was your use of the word blathered. What a splendid word. And I concur, Ted. I mean, that sounds absolutely horrid. I mean, yeah, what can I say except yuck, 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 same as you. Do you know what? Yesterday, I bought from Tesco, and we're going to eat for dinner tomorrow, chicken sausages. Never heard of them before. Never mind bought or eaten any.
Oh, I have those regularly. They're lovely.
Are they nice? Can you tell me, do you have to cook them in the oven? Because if you try to cook them in the pan, they're too fatty and they fall apart. Is that right?
No, No, you just cook them wherever you want to. And actually, they're quite hard to find. I tried to get them in Tesco locally here, and 9 times out of 10, they just haven't got them. And also, another one, which I used to get in Sainsbury's and nowhere else, was turkey sausages, and they're even nicer. But yeah, chicken sausages are lovely at Aidan. You'll like those.
Ted Salmon, sausage aficionado. Who'd have known? I'm beginning to...
I'm behind you.
You're a bit late there. Come on, Ted. Catch up. I was just starting to say, before I was interrupted by an R, I'm beginning to wonder if we're going to need an AI section on this show, because there are so many AI-related things and comments that I want to bring to the show and talk about, but so many other podcasts are doing the same now. But here's my penis worth for this show, this month. I want to give a gold star to Gemini AI. Big horse. John Wayne had a big horse. I had a little incident with my Polestar. I got a new car. I got a Polestar. I don't know if I've told anybody. The other day, I came home with my mother, and it was chucking it down, and it was dark, and we came down and we parked the car outside, and I got my mother safely indoors and shut the back door, and boop, 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 the car alarm started going off, and I thought, oh, what's this? And I had to go out, and the car wouldn't let me in, and it was pouring with rain, and it was pitch dark, and the car was blaring, and the neighbours would no doubt start complaining soon, and I thought, help! So I thought, well, I've got some choices here. I can phone Polestar. How long is that going to take me? I can root around for the instruction book and try to find out what's going wrong. Or, I'll ask my friend Gemini. So a few carefully chosen words into Gemini, such as, help, the f***ing alarm's going off. And within literally seconds, I got a concise point-by-point instructions. First, you need to open your key and get the manual key. Then you have to get into the car this way. Then you have to sit and put your foot on the brake and press this button and do that. All of which I followed, and it worked a treat, and the alarm stopped, and I was, you know, catastrophe over.
Hurrah.
And I just thought I wanted to flag that up as a really good use of AI that really I totally understand the naysayers with AI, and I totally agree that there are an awful lot of points about this technology that we got to be immensely careful of. However, once in a while, you just can't floor it. That was just amazing. AI got me out of a nasty fix within literally seconds. So thank you, AI, for that.
I'm doing that on a daily basis, to be honest.
So am I.
When I was setting up my my Linux computer, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And basically, Gemini led me by the hand through absolutely everything I needed to do. And it was just perfect. It was just like having an assistant with you. Interestingly, just the other day, I said to my dad about people that are lonely and using Gemini voice for company. And I said, I'm sure people must do this because it's so good. So I demonstrated it in front of him in the kitchen. And I got Gemini up. And I just looked around the room. And I actually said to Gemini, I'm pretty bored today. I'm looking for some company. Will you chat with me? And of course, she said, yes, no problem at all. And then I started looking around the room at what was in the room. And I said, oh, my bananas look a bit, they look a bit like they're going to be a bit brown soon. Is it safe to eat them, do you think? How brown should they be? And then she answered that, and I moved on to the next one. My fridge doesn't have a star rating. How should I, you know?
Yeah.
I was demonstrating this to my dad for about 10 or 15 minutes, and he was just gobsmacked that you could just use Gemini as company. And I said to him, I'm sure that old people that are lonely, if they could just get onto this, it would be a great thing for them. But of course, my dad is frightened of the tech involved to have to get there. I tried to show him, but because he's not tech orientated, he thinks it's all a big deal to actually start the thing going and get it going. But yeah, it's really impressive in some ways. You're right.
Indeed. And scary.
Indeed, yeah. Right, my gold star is going to DVLA road tax because they sent me an email to say that your road tax was needing to be renewed. £26 for my scooter.
£26. Oh, God! I wish I was Ted Salmon. Okay, yeah.
Indeed. And the point I was going to make, though, was that as long as you're prepared to have the gov.uk website know who you are and what you do and what your everything inside leg measurement, I was in there and it was done in 2 minutes. Google Pay, all sorted, and literally in 2 minutes. And I was just very impressed that, you know, the reputation that government agencies have had over the years of being unwieldy mammoths of things to deal with, it was just so quick and easy. And I remember the last time I did a passport, the same thing replied, really. And as Chris Kelly pointed out, there's also a direct debit option they've set up now, so you don't even have to use 2 minutes of your life doing that, he says. But the point is, I think that government departments seem to be maybe starting to get their shit together, but perhaps not.
I'm a little baffled here because mine is even easier than that. Mine is automatic. I pay mine on a direct debit. I don't have to do anything. I just get an email saying your tax has been paid.
That's what I just said. Try and listen. But
No. You told me you went online and you paid it in just 2 minutes.
And then I went on to say about how Chris Kelly pointed out that there's also a direct debit option.
That was the point when I was looking something up for the next item.
What a donkey. The gold star really is about government departments getting their act together a bit more than they ever used to. And I hope that spreads through other departments as well, because that was just an easy transaction.
I'm not saying anything else. You finished the show, Ted. I've burned my bridges.
Okay. Right, okay, so we're done, and we've spoken to you for exactly an hour, according to my thingy. By the time all the lovely music gets jingled in, it'll be even more. But when we've cut out all the crap, then it'll be even less. Anyway, we'll be back in a month's time. So we will be back, yes, the first week of December, as long as I can pin Aidan down to not being Santa somewhere. And, let us know in the MeWe group what is whatever works for you. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidanBell.com is Aidan's website. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. All the links in there to all of our other audio podcasts, all of our MeWe groups. And do let us know whatever works in your life in the MeWe group. Last word to you, Aidan Bell.
I think I'm going to get in touch with the Deed Poll Office and change my name to Tarquin William Ian Thomas. I think that would suit me. I'm going to go away and bury my head in shame. Have a lovely month, everybody, and keep writing in. See you soon.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for listening, everyone. And as usual, one last thing to say. Don't forget...
Whatever works, works!